Right now, businesses, politics, and consumers are getting tangled up a lot lately in the aftermath of a heated political campaign. Conservatives are calling for a holiday boycott of Target because of a bathroom policy. Liberal groups are calling for boycotts on Trump brand products and the companies that carry them, while many pro basketball teams are avoiding Trump hotels.
The Breitbart media operation is going after Kellogg's after the maker of cereal and Pop-Tarts moved its online advertising away from the conservative outlet, saying it wasn't consistent with the Kellogg's brand.
And corporations are taking stands on political issues, with businesses speaking out against the North Carolina bathroom bill. Closer to home, a Wisconsin spice company has been outspoken in its criticism of Donald Trump on issues of race.
Our next guest studies the overlap between politics and commerce and the impact of boycotts and political stands taken by companies. Tom O'Gwin joins us now. He's professor of marketing at the UW-Madison School of Business. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Oh, sure. Happy to.
Before we dig into particular boycotts, I know I've been looking for them the last couple of days, but is it just me or are we seeing a lot of boycotts and political corporate activity here?
You're seeing a lot. It's not just you. They've really grown, and several reasons for that. One is the obvious, social media. The other is that branding and CEOs in particular have just become a lot more political.
Let's talk about the basics of boycotts here. Do they actually tend to affect a company's bottom line? If I start boycotting blah, blah corporation, do they feel the pinch?
The simple answer is prior to social media, they were less effective than they were effective. Most were not effective. Some were, and some of the very famous ones were hugely effective. But in an age of increased media surveillance through social media, through a connected public, there's just a lot more pressure put on companies. In the old days, you could get even for a big of sin you may have made or perceived, you might get 10 letters, and companies would think of those 10 letters as maybe 1,000 that were people meant to write. But now, instantaneously, you can get a couple of million people protesting something, and that gets companies' attention.
And you mentioned CEOs in particular putting themselves out there more. You can think of CEOs of companies who are big political donors. The Koch brothers are household names, for better or worse, depending on which side you're on. The CEO of Starbucks has been out there on political issues. That's the list is a lot longer than that. What's driving that?
Two things. It's the culture. The culture has made it more okay in the United States to talk about commerce and politics in the same breath. That was very common beginning in England in the Thatcher years, where a lot of the big ad agencies like Saatchi and Saatchi used political themes to advertise consumer products. In the United States, that's a more recent thing. There's also data, interestingly, it's early, but some of the initial data indicate that, particularly where it's obvious that you're going to be on the side of history and the side of angels, that you're better off to take a position than not. You'll actually make more money in the long run taking a position.
So LGBT issues are the big one today where companies are lining up. And one of the boycotts that's prompting this conversation, Target, their bathroom policy, saying go with the bathroom that you identify with, not the one on your birth certificate. A protest, a boycott from groups on that. And of course, we've seen states get entangled up in this, North Carolina, businesses picking sides. Is that one of these issues where we're seeing, or maybe at a turning point?
Oh, absolutely. And some companies have been sincere, I believe, and some have been more practical about it, or opportunistic. LGBT issues, since we've been gathering public opinion data since the 1930s, you haven't seen an issue move that quickly in terms of flipping is that issue. So any company looking at data, we're going to say it's clear where this is going to end up. The winning side, if you will, is going to be for marriage equality, etc. We don't have to be heroes to be on the right side of this. Now, that's not to say some people aren't completely sincere in what they did, but you're seeing companies on that issue, particularly taking sides. They tend to be at odds, interestingly, with generally speaking, Republican state houses and legislatures. And they make the argument to them that they can't recruit if they have these policies. Monsanto is a good example where their chief operating officer came out and said that, look, we're trying to get people to move from St. Louis, from Palo Alto and Princeton and all the, you know, from a Kellogg school in Chicago. We have to sell St. Louis in the absence of mountains and lakes, and then these people have their choice of jobs, and they're going to say, I'm not working for some retrograde company. I'm not going to work for a company I have to apologize to my gay friends about. Also, the data on what marketers want is to create brand loyalty. And brand loyalty is not just repeat purchase. It's where you form an emotional bond, which actually changes how you process information. Most companies now believe you're better off to take a stand to make 10 million people really happy with you and create long-term loyalty than you are to take no stand and have 50 million people kind of feel neutral about you. So identity politics and identity branding are also very related. So there's good business reasons to come out early and get ahead of these things and be on the right side.
Talking to marketing professor Tom O'Gwin from the UW-Madison School of Business, looking at boycotts, companies, and politics. Let's get into a couple of particular cases now. Wisconsin-based company, Penzies, the spice company, sent a letter to all of its email list subscribers. These are customers here, worried about the election of Donald Trump. This is after the election. Here's a quote. The open embrace of racism by the Republican Party in this election is now unleashing a wave of ugliness unseen in this country for decades. Strong language there, not mincing words. They have followed that up since then. A lot of pro reaction, a lot of con reaction. What do you make of this particular case? And some people calling, of course, Trump supporters for a boycott there.
I think it was on balance wise. I think it was given the politics of Wisconsin and surrounding areas, it was probably, from a business standpoint, very wise. But what I'm most proud of that company for was that it was the right thing to do, regardless of business. And but I think even from a business standpoint, the people most likely to be customers of Penzies, they were probably preaching to the choir a little bit. But that is not in any way to diminish the heroicism of taking that stand. I was very proud of them.
And then Kellogg's versus Breitbart. Now, Kellogg's company, and this is the way internet advertising works is weird. I'm a company. I pay Google or someone to get my ads all over the internet. I don't know where it's going to turn up. They have said, okay, we want to be off of the Breitbart news site. Steve Bannon of Breitbart now with the Trump team. He had said, this is a platform for the alt-right. People associate the alt-right, a lot of different definitions, but often with white superiority, racial superiority, opposition to representative government. Kellogg's didn't say this is a political message. It says we want to be careful what our brand is associated with. Breitbart, a news platform leading an attack, Dump Kellogg's is their Twitter handle. Took a long time to summarize what's getting to be a complicated story. What do you take away from that back and forth?
Yeah, I was amazed by that one. But I was very happy Kellogg's did what they did. When a company that size buys media, internet media, they don't know where all it's appearing. That's the nature of that beast. But I was very glad they took that action. I think it's a net positive for them. Breitbart's response, which I read to my class, actually, was just ludicrous. I mean, you know, they you know, what is white is black, what's black is white. They were claiming that Kellogg's was, in fact, prejudiced by doing this. And it's just such twisted logic that it's just laughable. And I think Kellogg's also exists, their corporate culture, in a city where this is kind of expected corporate behavior. I think there's a lot of in this part of the country pressure to behave in that way, and I was very proud of them.
Breitbart saying, hey, we are a popular site with conservatives, with Trump supporters. You are sending us a message that we're not wanted. You don't want us to buy your product. So, I mean, does a company risk losing a lot of money potentially by saying to a part of the political spectrum, we don't want to show up on the sites you're reading?
Well, that's the old famous, you know, Michael Jordan quote when Michael Jordan was asked, who's a Democrat, when was asked to endorse a Democrat in North Carolina and consider running for office himself in North Carolina, he made the comment, well, even Republicans buy tennis shoes. And so the typical response for companies 15 years ago is to always be politically neutral for that very reason. More and more, being neutral is not rewarded. And in the case of Kellogg's is not going to feel this. I'm sorry. People aren't going to stop buying breakfast cereal brands because of this. And the ones that do, fine. All the evidence suggests that on something like a package good like that, where apologies to Kellogg's, there's not a great deal of difference between them and most of its habitual routinized purchasing, it's not going to hurt them at all. And early evidence suggests they'll pick up more business than they'll lose.
Is this wave of boycotts, surge of boycotts and arguments over a company's product politics here to stay for a while, or is it going to fizzle somewhat as the aftermath of the election gets further and further away?
Great question. Wish I knew the answer to that. I don't think it's going to fizzle. It may lose some of its newsworthiness, but I don't think it's going to fizzle because if you look at the trend across the Atlantic where this has become – we're kind of lagging in this where – commerce and politics are kind of considered one of that are all interactive with each other. I think you're going to see more of this, and because of social media and just because of the divided nature of the country, the topicality. And let's face it, most of us do not have access to the kind of power where we can really change much of anything. So we fight many of our battles through our consumer behavior. Now, sometimes those make a huge difference. When you go to the Smithsonian and you see the Greenville Woolworths lunch counter and realized that it was over your ability to consume or not consume something in the marketplace, that became a huge moment of civil rights. Rosa Parks being denied a place on a bus, on a service. We fight a lot of our battles these days in terms of what we can. And one of the things you can do in a consumer society, albeit not hugely important, is to boycott, to reward brands. Apple sales in Indiana went up when Tim Cook from Apple, the CEO of Apple, took his stand against the Indiana right to religion or whatever bill. And that's I think more and more companies are going to see that and think it's not only the right thing to do, it is good business.
Thanks to Tom O'Gwin, professor of marketing at the UW-Madison School of Business. He joined us for a look at boycotts, corporations, and politics in the aftermath of the 2016 election.
There's more coming up on Central Time.